All right. I just want to say this. Of course, welcome to the guys online. You know, outside of our house, we've been living in that house now. We bought about 20 years ago, that property. And we've had an outside lot, so there's our driveway is quite steep. And three quarters way up the bank is the municipality lot. And they get quite confused as to who's cutting that bank. Sometimes they cut it, sometimes they don't. So it's like, listen, guys, this bank belongs to you. You see your municipality lot, it's on top of the bank. It's actually your bank. Cut it, please. But anyway, we cut it for the most part. And on top of that bank is the municipality lot with the old incandescent yellow, you know, this old orange yellow. And that thing has been working for a long, long, long time. And so I've seen all these LEDs go around the bluff. And I'm like, Lord, I ask that you'd put one outside our house. We have life group guys, I mean, a couple of guys, they don't want to come back to our life group. It's too dark down the driveway. They cry, moan every Sunday, every Tuesday rather. And last week, one of our neighbors across the road messaged Dawn and said, hey, I saw the city over here changing your lamp. And I'm like, and I said to Dawn, was it the LED? She says, no, I think it's the old one. I'm like, yeah. And yesterday, I look outside and it's an LED. Hey? Come on, thank you, Lord. So now they've got no excuse not to come. You know what I mean? But anyway, my point is this, is that if it matters to you, it matters to the Lord. Amen? Amen? And I stood there yesterday, I cut away a banana palm so that we could see a bit more of the light on the driveway. And I just said, thank you, Lord. Like, I so appreciate that gesture from you. And I just saw him smiling at me. You know, like, if it matters to you, Craig, it matters to the Lord. I said to my son the other day, he's in the back, and I said to him, if it matters to you, it matters to the Lord, you know? And that's the truth. If I'm puzzling, the Lord wants to help me. Amen? And so anyway, I'll just leave that with you. It's a profound thing, yes? Celebrate the small victories. Not much, not like you did just now with Dawn talking there. We still love you. All right. So last week, how good was Murdoch van Straten? It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. What a phenomenal guy. Chris, lucky to see you, my bro. Forgot what you looked like. All right, still better. Still good looking, bro. Murdoch van Straten, I want to encourage you. Last week, Saturday, he did a business leader's time. We couldn't have it, Jeff, for various reasons. So we had it at Andrew Carl's house. Thank you, Andy, for hosting. And the chat can be better next time. But, sorry, <Bridget. laughs> that was great. And we obviously was invite only. We couldn't pack the place out with many guys. We could only see like 23 or 24 guys in the lounge. But we managed to record the audio. We fixed it up, put it on Facebook and on our website. I want to encourage you, please go listen. Even if you don't own a business, go and listen to it. About an hour and a half long, phenomenal, phenomenal time with him. Murdoch has got, he's a wealth of information. He's an amazing guy. I think he owns 200 odd properties, him and his wife. Not to blast his horn there, but he loves Jesus. And he loves family. He travels all over the world, does family, family camps, he does men's camps, he does leadership training, does business training. Download that audio and take a listen. You will love it. Or listen to it online. Amen. Anyway, part one, he did part one last week. He did the best he could. We don't normally ask, I'll tell you why. We don't normally ask a guest preacher to preach something. We say, you got carte blanche, preach what's on your heart for us as a church. But because of Gareth and Ainsley coming on the 17th, the elder ordination, we need to move our three-part generosity series 1 week forward so it landed on his Sunday. So I said, please, my friend, can you do our part one? And he said, okay. I gave him the notes, and so he had to stick with those notes. And so he did good. And one of the things he spoke about, really, the gist of last week's message was awareness. Being aware of generosity. The worst thing is there's a need, you're just not aware of it. Amen? And as the body of Christ, it's like we need to say, Lord, open our eyes to an awareness that I can see where there is a need that I may help. Who's with me? One of the things I love to do is, Dawn and I both love doing it. I use her money, she uses my money. And when we get to the counter and we're paying for groceries, and often I'll pay for the guy behind me. Often I'll look at it and I'll just swipe him through. And the person's like, what? I said, just bring your stuff. No, no, it's fine. And he's like, no, just bring your stuff. No, no, it's okay. Just bring your stuff. I was like, oh, what? And then I said, no, do you want to pack it? And he's like, huh? Pack it, pack it. I go, there we go. And the guy like walks past and takes it. He doesn't know what to do with himself. Dawn and I have got one account, by the way. So just so you know that. I'm doing what Dawn does. What Dawn says I'm doing, I'm just bouncing all over the place. What's Dawn's is hers, what's ours is hers. It's like the Eco Sport's hers, the Bucky's also hers. My point is, I'm losing my mind here. I'm losing my way here, sorry. She forgot my point altogether. Just seeing a need. Amen. Sometimes it'll blow people, like you're there and you buy something. Or someone's in front of you and you're just like, no, 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 I'm going to, you start putting your stuff through as on. The guy's like, no, hold on. And you're like, no, don't worry, I'm going to pick up your tab with mine. Anyway, just being aware of a need is very important for us. Amen. A lot of Christians live like this. It's like the Lord wants to open up our eyes to see the need around us. As the end times church friends, there's going to be something special the Lord wants to put on us as his people. For such a time as this, we could have been born 100 years ago. We're born now. What a powerful time to be living. What's happening in the world is crazy. And the Lord wants us not to just go through it like, oh, you know, that's interesting. What is he calling the church to be? What is he calling us to be? Amen? To be a people that lives like Jesus. Jesus says to disciples, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And Jesus understood awareness. Anyway, number two, action. Today, we're going to talk about activating generosity. Activating generosity. And, you know, here's a question. Why do we desire to be generous? Remember, this is not just about finance. It's about time. We've got a whole lot of serving spots available. God wants us to lay a lot, to serve and help each other, minister. Remember chair number three? What was chair number three? It's serving in the ministry. Chair number two was still a baby. Chair number three, we're growing up. We're beginning to serve. Who's with me? When my children were younger, they did nothing. Now we're asking them to carry responsibility. Why? Because they're getting older. What responsibility do you carry in the local house? Oh, I don't carry any responsibility. Well, then you're still a toddler. Amen. You said it, not me. God wants us to carry responsibility. Why is it that we want to be responsible? We want to do, we want to serve, we want to give, we want to be generous with our time, our belongings, our space, our finances, but we just don't do it. We don't activate. We don't act on the thing we desire. Who ever does that? Only Grant and the guy at the back. Who lies here? Of course, desire must be followed by action. Not so. You see someone who's overweight or they're unhealthy or they go see the doctor. And the doctor's the only guy that can slate you and give you big gears and you pay him. And you go there and he says, you're unhealthy. You need to lose weight. Now we have a desire for that and we want to do that. But the problem is activating that. There's a disconnect between what I want to do, what I need to do, what I know I need to do, what I desire to do, but what I actually do. And we're going to look at that question a bit later. And something of an answer, hopefully, I can give you. Amen. Amen. So let's read together Matthew 14 and verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Verse 16, Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Verse 17, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Verse 18, bring them to me. So a bit of a context here. We know there's a word there, remote. So the disciples say, this is a remote place. That word remote in the Greek means wilderness, or a far off kind of desolate area. So they'd obviously gone out to this place. It's quite a distance from the villages. That's why it's remote. And so the disciples are going, listen, Jesus, we got a problem. Now remember, there's 5,000 men. excluding women and children. So probably 10, 11, 12,000 people must be. Are you good with that number? So let's say 10,000 people. It's 10,000 people. That's a big number of people. In this remote place, the disciples see a problem. What do they see? They see that these guys are far from civilization, so to speak. It's getting late, which means the sun is going down, and they must be hungry by now. Maybe they've been out there the whole day. So the disciples come to Jesus with a perceived need, and they say to Jesus, here's the problem. Is that a spiritual thing to do? No, I'm asking a good question there. I don't know why you're laughing, Gron. Because who wouldn't do that? Here's a problem. Jesus, here's a problem. It's a great spiritual, we think that's a good thing to do. It's like, of course, you want to take the issue and put it at the feet of Jesus. That's what we taught. Not so. Here's a problem, Lord. Can you solve it? That's part of our prayer when we're praying. Lord, break in ya. Amen. And it seems spiritual. It seems like it's the correct thing to do. And it probably was for them in their minds the correct thing to do. So, as I said, good idea. Here's the problem. Verse 16 is a bit of an issue for all of us here. And for the disciples. They do not need to go away. There's a problem right there. Either you're blind or you're deaf or you're both. It's getting late. We're in a remote place. There's 10,000 people here and they need to eat something and they need to go home. Jesus says they do not need to go home. So clearly he cuts right across their, whatever you want to call it, their idea, their thought. And then he says, you give them something to eat. So clearly that is a massive issue. Because the disciples know very well that they cannot do that. They cannot give 10,000 people something to eat. You do not need to send them away. Sometimes the Lord is going to bring direction or bring a counsel or bring something to you. It's going to cut right across the way you're thinking. What do I do to get eternal life? I mentioned this a few weeks ago. What do I do to get eternal life? The rich young ruler. Obey the law. I've done all of this since I've been a young boy. Ah, have you? Okay. Go sell everything you have. It's like, no, hold on, Jesus. You don't understand. I'm a very rich guy. And for me to go sell everything I have, give it to the poor and follow you, is just not going to work for me. It cuts right across his understanding of what should be happening. Jesus says, you do not need to send them away. You give them something to eat. So it cuts right across what they're thinking. Now, when Jesus says that, clearly, in their minds, that is just not going to work. And immediately they go, and they say this, we have here only, say only. That's a big problem. Say only. Only together. Say only. Online. Let's say only. I didn't hear it. See, that's the problem for us. We have only. There's no such word of only in the vocabulary of God. But our vocab is full of onlys. I only have so much time. I can't make it on Saturday, the love day, Craig. I have breakfast with my wife every Saturday morning. We work Monday to Friday. It's a hard life. I'm taking my child for breakfast. I'm taking my child to go and enjoy the beach because it's a nice day, Craig. I work Monday to Friday. My time is limited. I can't do this because I only. You see, they said to Jesus, which was a reality for them, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Clearly, that's nowhere near enough to feed 10,000 people. So the disciples were doing what? They were sitting on this plane. I want to encourage you. We've got to be careful, friends, that we don't drop down. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, I think it is, or 2. You can go check for me. Thanks. He says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Why does he say that? Or where we are seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. Because we have a natural, because it's not supernatural, a natural propensity to drop down to the natural things of this plane and see things the way they are on this earth. That's why I like the movie Matrix. Who's seen that movie? The 7 of you. and the red pill and the blue pill, because when you eat the red pill, which is the blood of Jesus, our eyes get open to the spiritual plane. We see things like God sees them. Neo's eyes were open to the reality of what was happening around him. So no longer is he stuck in this thing, living in this matrix, sitting at his desk job. Now all of a sudden, he gets pulled out of that and he's actually a freedom fighter. Amen. He is fighting the sentinel, like the demonic, who are going around all over, and they're sending out the agents who are what? The agents of the enemy to do what? To kill the plan and the life of God in you. So what we do, we got to come out from the natural plane and into the heavenly realms, the spiritual plane. And we got to write. Remember, what did God say to Abraham? He said, I'm going to make your descendants as big as, numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Friends, we got to make sure that we see what's going on the ground, but we understand too, the destiny, the prophetic calling of every one of us. See, as we sit in this room today, in our individual shirts and our individual shoes, our individual lives, God has put us together as the body of Christ to be the body of Christ. Jesus didn't live on this earth staring at the floor. He lived on this earth looking at the throne of God. That's what motivated him. The word only didn't exist in his vocab. Amen. So what does he say? Are you right, guys? Only five fish and here we go. Sometimes I bring a cold water and I just open. I'm like, well, did you just have a sip of that? Jesus doesn't say, oh, flip. Okay, oh, I see what you're saying. Jeez, five fish, two loaves. There's 10,000 people, guys. We can't feed them with this. You're right. Send them home. See, when we come to God and say, I can't do the love day. I've only got X amount of time in my day. I think it's 168 hours in a week. 168 hours. If you take 8 hours a day off, well, let's leave our sleeping time there. 168. Take 10% of that. What's that? 16 hours. Then you start to work out, how much time do we really give God? If we tithe 10%, how much of our time do we tithe to the Lord? If you come once on a Sunday morning, and you're here for an hour and a half, and you go home, and we don't really see you again until the next Sunday morning, you're probably giving God like less than 1% of your time. Remember, we can be generous with our finances, our time, our belongings, our space, everything we have. The problem with the church so often is we take our time and we just look at the natural plan and we go, I've only got X amount of time and it's mine to use as I want. And then we get to heaven one day and we realize, hey, bro, I was a bad steward of my time. I didn't spend my time well. Amen. I want to say well done for being here this morning. Well done for being online. But I promise you, you're not going to get a naughty badge from me. I know that sounds rough, but it's the least we can do. Sunday shouldn't be a big day. Actually, the whole week, Monday to Sunday, is everything for us. Amen. Wherever we do, whenever we're doing things, we are pressing in. Why? Because we're using our time to honor God and walk as the local church together. Who's with me? I want to encourage you, the love day, don't allow time to stop you. Move your diary. Take those 2 hours and give it to the Lord. Come and join us, 9 o'clock outside. Let's pack this place out. And from there, we disperse wherever we're going. The love day, friends, is strategic. We are being evangelistic. We want to bring people from chair one to chair two. Come and see. Come and see. Hey, who are those guys out there on the verge? There's our signage, Grace Up. Hey, how's it? Woo! And we're doing things. What are they doing? People drive past and go, yes, that's quite awesome. That's amazing. People write on Facebook, hey, well done, guys. We're not doing it for accolades. There's strategic reasons we're doing it. We want to pull people from the community into the life of God. This is one way to do it. Amen. It's evangelism. It's evangelism. We're not doing it because we want to just jimmy up and jam up your diaries. It's evangelism. Give the time to the Lord. Amen. Hear what he is saying to you this morning. Be generous with your time. I want to just quickly share this. I want to just quickly say this. In 2016, Dawn and I planted Grace Life Dawn, I just tagged along. Dawn, myself, my daughter was 3, my son had just been born. Malcolm joined us a little short while later. one or two kind of hangers on. For the first few months, we were living, paying our bond and all that off the dividends that my ex-business partners were still paying me. I sold my shares to them about a year before that, and they just kept on paying me a salary. They couldn't pay me the whole lot, so they just kept paying me my salary after I'd left for a while. So it was over a year later, and we still had some time and some money. The salary kept coming. I thought, oh, we're going to plant the church, and I want to use that time, pay our bond, all that stuff, school fees, and just live off that and keep trusting God and keep going full time. And then at about 5-6 months afterwards, I spoke to a friend of mine, a friend of mine contacted me. He said, one of my ex-business partners said, listen, we need someone to come sell the gear in the company. Why don't you come work for the company again, and we give you profit share in selling the gear? And I was like, cool, let's do it. And I phoned a friend of mine. I said, what do you think? He said, Craig, how's the cash situation? I said, maybe 2 or 3 months is going to end up being a problem. He said, you need that job. And so for 3 years, I worked for this company. 3 years, Dawn and I, husband, church planter. I led worship every Sunday. I preached every Sunday. I grabbed all the sound, not none of it in here, but sound we had, sound desks, little speakers, packed my bucket on a Saturday night, drove it out there, unpacked it, led worship, preached with a daughter of three, with a son of 2 months old. And I did that for 3 years. Did I die? No. Did Dawn die? No. Do I go back and think, 16 years ago, I wish I'd spent more time with Dawn having breakfast on a Saturday morning. I wish I'd spent more time with my child on a Sunday morning. No. I thank God for what He's done. Is our marriage perfect? Yes. There's only one perfect person in this room, friends, and that's Dawn. And Jesus. And Malcolm's a close third. Amen, friends. Was it work? Yeah, of course. But my eyes are in heaven. See, it's like, man, we're willing to lay our lives down for the King and His kingdom. And one day when we get to heaven, you're going to see I was right. And you might say to yourself, I wish I'd just taken the advice of that oak with a red shirt on that day. Ranting and raving about Jesus. Amen. In hell, Jesus says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mentioned this the other day. The gnashing of teeth is anger. Why? Because you made me a son of hell as much as I made you a son of hell. You never preached the gospel to me, and I never preached the gospel. I hate you and you hate me. In heaven, we're going to have the very opposite. We're going to look at each other. Revelation 20, as the church comes down from the new into the new earth, and we look at each other and say, I gave my life to get you here, and you gave your life. But did I really? Did I really? Amen. Or was it just the guy in the red shirt? No, it can be all of us. As you look at each other and say, I gave of my time, my finances, my space, everything to make this the most beautiful thing and to add to its number. Amen. Amen. Love Day is to do what? To add to its number. Why? So Craig and Dawn leaders can be having accolades. No, so God can get the glory and people can hear the gospel and we can plunder hell. Amen. It says Jesus came to do what? To destroy the works of the enemy. What are we doing? Are we destroying the works of the enemy? Or do we just come to church on a Sunday because we're Christians? Amen? Jeez, I've gone way off my notes here. Natasha? So I set the scene. Where was I? All right, you give them something to eat. Clearly, he says, you solve the problem. You know, you solve it. Oh, I can't. Look what I just got. We only have. Oh, only. Okay. See, the real reason, friends, that most of us desire, the question we ask, desire to be generous, but the problem is we don't activate and action our generosity is because we just go, I only have. I look at my limitations more than I look at the Lord Himself. It's my limitations. See, Craig, no, I can't make that time because, you know, hey, we bath our kids at 6 to 7 life groups we can't make because we bath our children. And we put them to bed because they've got school tomorrow. Listen, why don't you do this? Take them to the life group. Trust the Lord is going to wake them up early in the morning and get them to school and they're going to do well. Why don't you do that? See, why don't we just trust God? Why don't you trust the Lord? No, Craig, my time. It's like a little pie. I've got to divvy that thing up. No, trust God. God could stop the sun for someone. God, if we give God our time, He will multiply that time back. Don't use 100% of time for yourself. Give God time. And you'll see what He'll do the time for you. He'll give you time back. Amen. Well, how, Craig? Don't ask how. Jesus says now, then he says, bring it to me. We only have, bring it. Oh, what? What are you going to do with it? How are you going to sort this out? No, no, it's not the question you ask. You just take it to him. Amen. Yeah, you solve the problem. Okay. Aha. Yeah. Yeah. You bring me what you have. You see, we're going to take our limitation to Jesus. Take the little that you have to the Lord. And taking it to the Lord isn't like, okay, there it is, Lord. No, it's action. I've got not much time. I've worked a full week. I'm going to work Friday, even Friday night. Come Saturday, let's do the love day. Okay, I'm going to come. It's only 2 hours. I'm going to give my 2 hours to the Lord. That's what you're doing. Not to Craig and Dawn or the leaders in the front row or anyone else. You're giving it to Jesus for his sake and for his glory and for his kingdom. Okay, God, that's why I'm going to be tired later. No, don't worry. Don't ask God how he's going to do it. He'll do it. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I've got more energy now I did than I feel when I had when I was 40. Yeah, I feel like I've got lots of energy. I turn 55 in November, next month. Oh, my Lord Jesus. I said to Dawn, Grace asked me 16 years, another 16 years, I'm 70. I can't even comprehend that. Oh, why are you smiling like that? I'm still strong. Amen, friends. We need the energy of God. Don't let's drop to our low. I can't. Tired. Man, I understand we need a rest. I understand that. But remember, God called us to impact this world. Jesus must be the most energetic guy ever. Amen. Interestingly, was Jesus called to be a carpenter? No. He was called to go to the cross and to plant the church with 12 guys. That was his calling. The carpentry was just to get him there. Whatever you're doing is just to get to where God's calling you to be. Craig, the carpentry, God's calling me to build this empire. I need to build this empire, and because that's going to be faithful to God. No. That whatever you're building must lead you to the kingdom of God. It must be the vehicle that gets you to become the son God's called you to become and the destiny you're supposed to work out. We're at work. Amen. And it's never alone. Jesus, even the Son of God himself, partnered with 12 people. It's never alone. God always calls you to team. And guess what? He's going to call you sometimes that you're not the team leader. Hey, it's okay. You've got to submit to the team leader. And if you can submit to the team leader well, he'll give you your own team to lead one day. But if you can't submit to the team leader well, you'll never have your own team to lead one day. And whatever that looks like. Jesus said, if you cannot be under authority, you cannot have authority. No, you're controlling me, Craig. Emma, maybe it's just a submission issue. I will ask you to do anything ungodly. Amen. Bring them to me. I love that. 20,000 people, friends. Bring them to me. We don't look at our limitations. Matthew 14. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Now, clearly, we're talking about serving here. Clearly, I want to preach one day, a preach on Hebrews 6:10. It's not up there, but let's not take that off because everyone's reading now. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. Say unjust. Unjust. See, I'm digressing here, but can you give me an extra hour? God is not unjust. He will not forget the work you have done. Okay, so let's all say work. What is working? Are you coming here this morning? Is that work? Well, in a way it is. It's a work of faith. But there's more works he's calling us to do in our individuality and our togetherness. God is not unjust. So he's not a bad slave master. He won't not give you what you need. He won't not remunerate you. I've got a guy I worked for 24 years ago. He still owes me 8,000 rand to this day. And he owes another friend of mine 25,000 rand. But we long since cut that off and forgot about it. But he's not unjust like that. God is not unjust. He will not forget. Say, not forget. The work you have done and the love you have shown him. So work and love are together. The love day. I'm going to work. It's actually loving God. Oh, no, that's too tired, Craig. Actually, it's loving him. He will not forget the work you have done and the love you have shown him. They're two parts of equal parts of a coin. As you help and continue to help what? His people, the church. He's not unjust. He will not forget the work you have done and the love you've shown him. How do we love God? How do we show we love him? How do we show? Show is a verb. Go look in the Bible there. Showing there is a verb. As we help and continue to help. Not just help once, but continue to help what? The church. That church. Well, Craig, I'm a Christian. You don't have to go to church. You don't understand what you are saying. You don't have to go and survey people in the... No, sir. What Bible are you reading? It's not the same Bible I'm reading. Amen. Yes, going to heaven and giving your life to Jesus is in the Bible, but there's a lot more than that, sir. Amen. The problem is you're biblically illiterate. He directed the people to sit down on the grass, which means the disciples would have helped him sit them down. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven. Say, looking up to heaven. But only like 5 of you say that. Let's say this together. Looking up to heaven. You see, friends, it's incredibly important. I want to just help you with something very quickly. If you're struggling with bitterness and unforgiveness and offense with someone in this room or someone online or someone that was here, not here now, you need to look up to heaven. Get your eyes off the natural plane. There are people in this room that are bitter with me, I guess, even today. You know what? Jesus still loves you. And I still love you. And you're still welcome. But the problem is, you're the one swallowing the poison, not me. Amen? Bitterness and offense is a destiny killer. You know what the problem is? You know why you're bitter and offended? Because you're not looking to Jesus. If you were looking to Jesus, he would say, I want you to go make right to that person as best as possible. I want you to forgive them. My son, my daughter, love covers over a multitude of sins. You're not perfect. Someone could be bitter towards you. Thank God they're not. You see, when I'm bitter towards you and I'm offended with you, I'm like the Pharisee standing before God going, well, thank God I'm good. This guy sucks. Because I'm perfect. No, I'm sure you've done things to offend and bitter people too. Amen. The same grace you pour in yourself, pour the same grace on your friend. Get your eyes to heaven. We forgive because we've been forgiven. Offense and bitterness will cause a bitter root to go down in your life that you cannot get rid of until you forgive and go make right to that person. Or just forgive them and then stop talking negatively to other people about them. Amen. It comes back to me, believe me. And I just laugh and smile inside. Because when I see you smiling at me, but I know what you're saying around to other people or behind my back. Friends, at the end of the day, you're just hurting yourself. Honestly. Amen. Jesus looked to heaven. We have to look to heaven. If we're going to survive and not even survive, thrive as a body of Christ and do what God's called us to do, we're going to get rid of bitterness and offense. And know this, we're going to offend and embitter each other. We're going to do things that are doff. I do things that are doff with Dawn all the time, and she still loves me through it. She never does. She's perfect, as I said. Amen. So I don't have to forgive her any time. We just have to forgive each other. What did you say the other day, babe? Love holds no grudges. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Yeah. Craig, you did last night 5 years ago. You see that now, Andy? Spoke about losing weight. Amen. I can't stress that enough, friends. I'm way over time. All right. He gave them to the disciples. So he broke bread and gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they say they all ate and were satisfied. Whoa! God wants to use you to help people eat and be satisfied of the kingdom of God with your belongings, your space, your finances. He wants you to impact other people. But if we go, it's just too small. It's just too small. I can't do it. We've got to take it to God and trust the Lord, and He will do. I want to encourage you. Thank you for tithing. Thank you for honoring the tithe challenge and continue to do it. Keep trusting God. Not for our sake. But of course, we can do lots of ministry with lots of money and small ministry with small money. That's the bottom line. But not for our sake, but for your sake. Amen. Keep on keeping on. Don't stop. Take the little you have. Give it to the Father and watch Him multiply it. Remember, giving that little is action. It's action. I can desire to give Dawn a rose and come to her that when I see her and say, hey, babe, I drove past the shop. I was so close to buying you a rose. It was, I thought about it and I was like, I'm going to do this. And I almost bought you a rose. She's like, oh, thanks, babe. Oh, I love you, babe. It's not quite the same as if I walk into the house with a rose. And maybe I need to do it more often. Amen. Because the action is what actually supersedes the desire. She appreciates the action, not just the desire. Amen. You see, when we bring Jesus, the little, the only, the limitation, he will multiply it. And how's this? The disciples, send them home. And, okay, no, okay, you bring, okay, here we go. Okay, now put them out to 10,000 people. What happens? Afterwards, they have 12 basketfuls, one basket for each disciple. Maybe those three fish and two loaves, or five loaves and two fish would have fed one or maybe two disciples. One guy for dinner. Or two guys, or three guys. Here, each guy's got a whole basket full left over. A whole basket full. God will not only supply the need of the people you want to bless, but he will supply you more than enough. Amen. Amen. The issue is we just don't believe it. But we all believe we're going to heaven. Amen? Oh, I hope God takes you to heaven. How do you know? He might not. He might just leave you. Send you to hell. No, never, Craig. Well, exactly. He's going to supply your need. Don't doubt that now. Exactly. Amen. Why don't we stand together? Without God, Saint Augustine wrote this, without God, we cannot. With us, God will not. Everything in the Bible, if you go look through from Genesis to Revelation, God uses human instrumentation. He uses human beings, not uses them in a bad way, but he partners, that's a better word. He partners with us to see the kingdom come on the earth. Jesus came, destroyed the works of the devil. Now he partners with the local church to continue on that thing. Satan is alive and well on the bluff. He needs a strong, potent, loving, unified church. Amen. Amen. Instead of talking sideways about each other, we talk to Jesus and ask God to bless that person. Pray for your enemies. Craig, now you're talking. What we have plus who God is equals more than enough. Actually, not just enough. Amen? Moses, stammering, stuttering, oh, I can't. God says, what's in your hand? That's my staff, bring it here. God says, what's in your hand? Bring it here. Yeah. Oh, I can't, but bring it here. Okay, there we go. Everybody satisfied, more than enough. Amen? If we have the faith to look past our limitations and bring what we have to God, he will use our generosity to change the lives of people. And it doesn't just change the lives of other people. This type of faithful generosity changes our lives as well. Do you know that at Grace Life, I think it was maybe, I don't know how long ago that we looked at the end of this financial year, but how much we've given away. Talking financially, through money, through gifts, through blessing people, through meals, through different things. Well, how much, babe? Well, over R1 million from 2008. R1 million from a little idea that we believe God gave us to start something. How profound is that? Amen. That's amazing. Lord, more. More Jesus. Just, I want to end with this. The Stony Brook University School of Medicine in New York did a study, and they said people that are generous, it pulls them, it lowers their blood pressure, it lowers their risk of dementia, it lessens anxiety and depression, it reduces cardiovascular risk and increases overall happiness. Why? Because it changes the mindset. People that are generous are generally happier. People that are miserly and stingy, their world gets smaller, and generally they're not healthy. That's why rich people become philanthropists, because they've got everything already. But now they start to give large amounts of money because it makes them feel good about themselves. And it also affects the person being blessed. Amen. Proverbs 11, my last scripture. One person gives freely, yet gains more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Amen. Can I pray for you? I want to ask you to close your eyes. Even if you're online there, close your eyes. So no one is looking at you. And I want to ask, let's respond to this message. If you go, Craig, I want to be more generous. I want to carry what you're saying here. I want to become who you've called me to become, Lord. Craig, not because you up there talking and preaching, but because I want to be the son you've called me to become. Help me become more generous, God. If that's you, I want you to put your hand up. Remember, putting our hands up is like sometimes an antenna. It's the antenna is reaching up to God. It's a small act of faith, but it can mean a lot. And I can see the angels are coming and just pouring bowls of revelation on people with their hands up. So why don't you lift your hands? Don't be shy. Everyone's eyes closed. I see some people looking around and you're being disobedient. Let's close the eyes and raise your hand if that's you. Father, thank you for the hands that are up. Lord, you see every hand that's up, Father. I pray right now, angels of God, as you walk around this venue with bowls of revelation and wisdom, I pray you'd pour out your revelation and wisdom, even those online, right now, under the sound of my voice, your revelation and wisdom, God, that we would bring, that they would bring the small amounts, the only amounts, the limitation amounts, the limited amounts to you, and you would multiply, that they would see your glory and people around them would be completely flabbergasted and impacted by their generosity. And then the people being blessed would give praise and honor to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.